All right, chapter 2, 1 John. And which ye have heard from the beginning, period. Is that a period? Period. And nothing else added to that. So let that abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us. And the promise is eternal life. Well, hey. Yeah, amen. That's it. I mean, eternal life, what else can you ask for? You know, when you think about what we've been studying, all our sins have been forgiven. Amen. Now, that needed to be an amen. There almost has to ding the bell. You got to have an amen when you really think about all your sins forgiven. That's an amen. Plus, we don't stand condemned before an almighty God. Plus, we have eternal life. It's been promised to us. As I said the other day, and I know there's a few folk missed out on it, but the forgiveness of sins and not being condemned is really exciting. But it's even more exciting the older you get. And it's even more exciting than that when you're laying there thinking, well, I got a few hours. And I'm going to be meeting the Almighty God. That's when it really sinks in that, hey, I won't stand before Him condemned. You know, last year, when I had COVID, and about a week and a half into it, it was really starting to get me. And I was having breathing problems and sleeping problems and weird, I can't even explain, problems in my mind. And I woke up one night, kind of a half sleep I was in anyway. And I woke up and I'm just in this fog. And we got this ottoman when it ain't piled full of stuff at the end of the bed. And you know what chairs are in the bedroom are for? That's to hold all your clothes. They're not sitting. Because I can't complain. Most of it's full of my junk. But I sat down on that, and it's up against the wall, and I'm sitting there, and I'm not even sure what I'm doing. I'm not even sure what I'm thinking. I'm just kind of, I don't know, spaced out, more or less. It reminded me of years ago, Brother Dave, but I had a reason back then. And I'm thinking, dying can't be this bad. Because I've never felt that bad in my life. And I was like, dying can't be this bad. And she wakes up and she looks up at me and she said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. And I'm pretty much about in tears because I just... I'm even looking over at my pistol and I thought, well, that'd leave a mess. You know, and besides the loud bang, it scared her, you know. I mean, that's how bad I was feeling. It was like, dying can't be this bad. But you know, that run through my mind, and I've read it, I don't know how many times, but it run through my mind that, you know what, if I do leave this world, I'm not going to be standing before God condemned. Mm-hmm. Because I'm saved. My sins are forgiven, and I'm saved, and He's promised me, as He just said in verse 25, eternal life.
Yes.
And you don't get stuff up there. Verse 26 says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That's concerning them that will lead you astray. As I mentioned this morning, unfortunately, our government has led us astray. Our doctors have led us astray. Our scientists have led us astray. They've lied to you. And it's sad, but it's true. If my granddad was alive right now, he would be... It's a wonder they ain't... You know, maybe that's what the eruption was the other day. Maybe it was people turning over in the grave and all the garbage going on. It's sad. But that's why John wrote 1 John to us. He said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That's what they want to do. They want to lead you in the wrong direction. They want to, and it's for their own profit. That's exactly what it's for. It's for their own profit. It's sad. Then he says in verse 27, oh, I like this one. Verse 27 is a good verse now. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Hey, all of you, if you're saved, you got the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
That's an anointing. You see, back in the day, way back there, about when John was born. Nah, before that. Way back there in Aaron's day, the high priest, they would pour that oil on him, and that was the anointing. And it was a picture of the Holy Spirit. When you picture this, the Holy Spirit, that's the anointing that we have within. We should depend on that.
Amen.
He says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. You don't need anybody telling you this is the way you ought to do. You need to take this. You need to do that. You don't need that. When they're trying to seduce you, when they're trying to lead you astray, you don't need them to teach you nothing. Because first off, the Spirit will tell you, this is wrong. There's something wrong with it. Something, and you may not even understand it totally, but there's a problem. And you don't need them telling you anything. Because the Holy Spirit alright, I'm going to go on. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, that anointing ain't lying to you. It's truth. And is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Now, basically, John is telling you, let the truth abide in you. That's what this is about. 1 John, so far chapter 1, so far chapter 2, he's telling us, let the truth abide. Let it speak to you. Let it come alive in you. Let it guide your life. Not all of this other mess. Not the false teachers out there. Oh, well, you got to be baptized to get to heaven. No, you don't. Or you got to put a certain amount of money in the offering plate to get to heaven. No, you don't. Oh, you got to partake of the Lord's Supper. No, you don't. All you got to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him into your life. That's it. There is no work in it. And so John reminds us that the message that we've heard from the beginning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to stick to that. It refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection. And on top of that, you don't have sins that aren't forgiven. He's forgiven you all of them, past, present, and future.
Thank you, Jesus.
You go stand before God uncondemned, plus you have eternal life. That's what he's trying to tell us. And the promise that abides in us. Man, that is huge. Eternal life. And every time I ask somebody, what's eternity? Well, it's forever. Well, what's forever? But we can't fathom that. We ain't got a clue. Now, he closes, though, with a couple of verses. And they're important verses. He reminds us that we're in the last times. And he tells us in verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him." In other words, believe in him, follow his guidance. That, comma. So, when he shall appear, who's going to appear? Jesus. When he shall appear, we may have confidence. If you ain't got confidence, we may have confidence, comma, and not be ashamed before him at his appearing. Listen, the last thing I want to do is be ashamed when Jesus comes back to get me. I don't know how that'd feel, and ain't interested in finding out. I really don't want to know. I know how I felt when my dad would appear sometimes and I hadn't done what I was supposed to do. I know how it felt in more ways than one, but the first one that hit me was I was ashamed. Because he had asked me to do something and I did not take the time out of my super busy day of doing nothing to get it done. So I don't want to have that same problem when Jesus shows up. I don't want to feel that way. If ye know that he is righteous, then ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So, how many politicians do you know that's probably born of Jesus? You don't have to answer that because it'd be very few. I can name a few, but it would be a few. That's sad. Shouldn't be that way. Now, over in John chapter 8, we have a kind of an example of this. Everyone that is living like they ought to live. Look at chapter 8, verse 37. We're going to read a short 10 verses. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Now you think about that, what that's saying. They want to get rid of Jesus in America. Why? Because his word ain't in them. You see, he tells us we'll know him if they're righteous. If they're righteous, if they're Jesus' children, we'll know them. And it ain't hard to watch the news and figure out who don't know him. I can tell you of some, and I'm not going to name them off tonight, but I can tell you some that I believe honestly probably know the Lord, and they're in politics. Bless their hearts. They need prayers. Because they put themselves in a bad place. They put themselves in harm's way. But anyway, he says in verse 37, verse 38, "I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." Oh, we believe in God. We go down, we do the Ash Wednesday, and we do our little Hail Marys and what have you, and we go down to Jehovah Hall, and we go down to the Church of the Mormon Ward, whatever they call that thing. I got news for you. Ain't the same God I know. And it ain't the same Jesus I know. They got problems. He says, verse 40, "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father."
Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Do you realize they knew who he was?
That was a cut directly to the Lord Jesus Christ.
They knew exactly, and they claimed they had no idea who this man was.
They knew exactly who he was. He was the son of Mary who was pregnant and hadn't even got married yet.
That was a cut to him. Anyway, I won't throw charge over that one. They answered and said to them, Abraham's our father. Oh, that's the wrong verse. Jesus, 42, said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He gave us a really good example. And I could have went into that this morning, but we just been there a lot longer than I wanted to keep you. You see, as I go back and talk about a little bit of what I preached on this morning, what the Lord laid on my heart, when you look at these people and their examples, you'll know their fruit. We know their fruit. Listen, they may say, we know God, but you get them to narrow it down to Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, and if they ain't willing to talk about Jesus, guess what? They don't know God either. Satan is their father, and they're leading this nation down into the sewer pits of hell. They really are. That is their agenda. It's wrong, but it's their agenda. You see, the Pharisees believed that they were guaranteed a place in heaven because of Abraham. Well, I'm guaranteed a place. My Grammy, she went to church. Avery, that ain't going to get you there.
Amen.
It's got to be you and Jesus. You know, he used the phrase "your father," Jesus did, to identify the source of the Pharisees. We've got a bunch of people that are out there, and honestly, from the beginning of this so-called pandemic, is what they want to call it. We know their source is Satan. Satan is their source. It really is. Now, I'll say it again. It's a real sickness out there. But it ain't what they're wanting you to believe. Now, you see, the Apostle Paul, he recognized the need for believers to separate themselves from these people. And I'm going to say it again, and I said it this morning, do not follow the world system, because it has no good for you. We are to separate. We live here. I live in the world. We live here, but don't follow the system of the world. We're in it. Who was it told me that the other day? Camden? Or Avery? Somebody, I think it was Avery. Well, we live, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. That's a fact. But we ain't to follow the world system. The world system leading you down a bad road. Now, I get it. Brother in the back, and I won't say his name, and another brother in the back, they got to go have their nose probed, make sure they're okay, because of the lie that they started 2 years ago. You let them prod you up in your nose. I didn't do it for you. Let them prod you up in your dad blind nose because you have to. But if you ain't got to, don't fool with them jokers. They're lying to you and you don't know whether you got it or not. You might just have a bad cold. And besides that, they keep you from serving the Lord. It's exactly what they do. And that's their goal. So, not... All right, go to Colossians. That's somewhere in the New Testament. It's just past Ephesians. Well, actually, it's the very next book after Philippians. Chapter 3, 1 through 14 tells us a lot. We're not carnality, but Christ, if we know the Lord. Verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says it all. If ye be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Quit seeking the junk of this world.
Amen.
Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. What good does it do us? Doesn't do us a bit of good. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Why in the world do we worry when we know where we're going?
Amen.
Now, I'll be up front with you. I ain't interested. I'm not scared to die. I may die here in the next 5 minutes. That's fine. I know where I'll be. She may sling some snot and she may not. She might be really happy. Now I can get some sleep and I'm going to listen to him over there. You know? And she get rid of the dog. Get the dog, but no, she'd probably keep the dog. I'm not scared of dying. I don't like the idea of how I may die. When I think about that, it's like, I like these that I've been hearing lately. They die in their sleep. That's the way to go.
Amen.
Right, Sister Maria? You know, if you're going to die, that'd be it. Just go to sleep one night. Love you, honey. See you in the morning. And then you're in heaven. It'd be like, yeah. But I'm not going to live my life in fear and not do what I'm supposed to do because some idiot who changes his mind every other day. And they decided he's the sexiest man alive, and they decided he's the smartest man alive, and he's dumber than the post. He sets up there, his name starts with F. I wouldn't say Fauci, but anyway. He sets up there and he gives his little orders. He's got a little guy complex. You know, he ain't been about 4 foot. He's a little runt. That's what's wrong with him. He's that kid they all beat up in school. Little nerd, nobody liked. And now he's got all this power and he's lying to you. It's sad, but it's true. Alright, where am I at? Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil never mind. I can't even say it tonight. And covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also sometime, ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. Hello. We've all been in that on that side.
That's right.
Every one of us have been on that side. Don't say you haven't because you're lying if you say you haven't.
That's right.
Right. We've all been there. I don't. We were pretty evil. The world has been for a lot of years. But I think now it's getting worse and worse. I see things that I never thought I'd see. I don't see nothing. I watched it on the news the other day. A teenage girl in Hobbs, New Mexico, you may have seen this, caught on camera, drives up to a dumpster, gets out of her car, opens the back door just nonchalantly, grabs a sack and just goes over in the dumpster and gets back in her car and drives off. And it was a newborn baby.
Woo, Jesus.
5 to 6 hours later, some guys were scrounging, two men and a woman were scrounging around seeing what they could find in the dumpster. And they thought it was a cat. Until the guy grabbed the bag and he's like, whoa, there ain't no cat. It's too heavy. They got it out and it's on video. You can watch them. They opened it up and all of a sudden, oh, he's walking around like, what are we going to do? You know, you don't hear him, but you know what he's saying. Let me tell you something. Dehumanizing American, dehumanizing God's, the crown of God's creation is what has taken place. Her mom says people make a mistake. If I had watched the video and the girl had gotten out of the car, grabbed the bag, and gently took it over there and laid it in there. Maybe she just wasn't thinking right. She's a teenager. But she didn't no more give a rip for that baby than you do a dying cat or snake or a dog. Because we've dehumanized the American people. Well, basically the world. That's sad. That is sad. Look it up. Look it up and find it and watch it. It will make you mad. Beyond words that I can even, I don't even need to think about them. What verse was I in? Somebody tell me.
Five.
I was further than five. Okay, five. Six. For which, whoa. Now, he said about all that stuff, that's idolatry, by the way, because we think more of it than him. For which things, verse 6, sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye lived in them. Avery, you guys wasn't paying attention. I was in verse 7. Now, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath. You want me to tell you how much my anger was kindled when I watched that? And we're how many miles from Hobbs? I thought, let me go down there and take her out back. Ooh. But the Lord says, but now ye also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God. Whoa. That's the saved. The elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You got a problem with somebody? Forgive them.
Yes.
Jesus did.
Right.
Make you feel a whole lot better if you do.
Yes.
You ever been just so angry at somebody? I'm talking just so mad that you can't sleep at night. There have been a few people in my life that have been that way. Only one's lived to tell about it. She's right there. No. I have been so angry that I lay there in bed and just... But you know what? It ain't worth it. For one, it'll give you heart trouble. Ask me. I had a heart attack in 2010. It'll give you heart trouble. It ain't worth the problem. Forgive them. The Lord forgave you. Forgive them. That don't mean you got to go down and say, you know what, I forgive you, let's go out and eat dinner. Because that may be one of these people like to chew with their mouth open. And food flying everywhere. I don't want to sit and look at them while they eat. You know, nasty thing, you know. It's like, He didn't tell you that you've got to go and just be their best buddy. He said, forgive them. Just forgive them and walk away, leave it alone. And honestly, when I finally did that, it was pretty easy, actually. And I slept good. Now where was that? Somewhere in here. 14. Above all things, put on charity. Oh, by the way, that's love. Which is in the bond of perfectness. You know, if we have love one for another, you know what it does? It makes everything nice. It does. And I'm supposed to stop there. You see, Paul didn't just mess around with it. He just plain bluntly said it. This is what you need to do. Do it. And that's really what we need to be doing. You see, believers should respond to things a whole lot different in the world than what other people do. But we've also got to remember that you can't follow their guidance because they're wrong. By us following the guidance of these antichrists out there. And by the way, if they don't believe in Jesus, they're antichrists. I don't care who they are. Not the antichrist, but there's this little bitty antichrist all over the place. By them not believing in Jesus, not being willing to tell us about Jesus, they're antichrist. We should do this. We should, honestly, you just turn your back and turn a deaf ear to what they're telling you. Because it ain't right. Paul stated that loving the things that God involves is more than just an inward thing. It's more than an inward focus. It needs to be shown outward. If we got the love of Christ in here, we need to open up the blinds and let it out. Because people out here in this world, listen, they need it. You know how many people out here in this world need us to be normal human beings? They really do. When I see somebody in the store that looks like me, I look at them and I say, oh, hey, a normal person. And do you know they'll smile and talk with me? They will. People are begging for just to go back to what we were. Why do we not do that? We need to. Listen, we need to get back to where we were 3 years ago. We came to church. If we got the sniffle, felt bad, we stayed home, got well, and come back to church. Most of the time, if a wife or a husband got sick, the other one came. She's left me at the house when I'm sick. Been a few times. Usually I'll come whether I'm sick or not. You know, we need to get back to being human beings. The crown of God's creation. Because people out there, guess who needs it? I don't. I know where I'm going. It's the lost people that need it. That is a fact. They need to see a person. They need to realize that this individual is a person and loves me.
Yes.
We're going to pick up in 3 John, hopefully next week. We'll see what the Lord leads. But where's your heart at?
All right, man. All right.
Is it where it ought to be? Where's your example to others? Is it where it ought to be? Because they're looking, believe it or not, they're looking to you, especially if you know you're a Christian. They're looking to you for leadership.
Yes.
They may never admit it to you, but they are. They really are. My neighbor asked me the other day. He said, you know, he said, I see you're not doing everything everybody's doing. I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, me either. And the first time I really got to talk to him about some things. And I said, look, I said, I don't worry about it. I said, the Lord's got my life. I said, I hope he's got yours. Well, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I don't think he is. I've invited him to church, I don't know how many times. But he told me, he said, I appreciate you being normal.